So I was at Eurogamer EGX 2014, and I'm going to paint you a picture of the event. I was there, and in the back they had a retro part of the event where they had lots of old consoles set up. I was there, and I was playing a bit of Galaxian on an arcade machine. And I was there, and I was, you know, I was going back and forth, and I was shooting the space aliens as they come down. And it was quite late in the day. It was about 4 or 5 o'clock towards the closing of the event. So many people had skirted off from the retro area in an attempt to play the more current games, such as Evil Within or the new Aliens title. And I was there playing Galaxians. And a kid and his grandfather, I assume he was his grandfather, he looked like an older gentleman, walk past. And the kid goes, "Wow, what's that?" And his grandfather goes, "Oh, it's Galaxian. It's like Space Invaders," he said. "You got a ship at the bottom of the screen, you got to shoot all the aliens." And he goes, "Back then, games were simpler." And he walked away. And I thought, you know something, Thomas? He's right. Tell him that attack. He is.
And actually, at this very moment in time of my games playing career, I am leaning towards the simpler games. I tried to play Bayonetta this morning. Been a long time me getting around to playing Bayonetta.
Yes.
And decided to give it a shot. And while I really appreciated it, it's like, oh, it's too fast for me. And it was the same story with Halo 4. Now, this may be because I'm recovering from a bit of a bug, and I found that anything that moved slightly too fast would give me a headache. But just slightly, when I've been trying to decide what to play, I'm like, oh, what can I... Worms. At least, you know, it's got a nice slow pace and a bit of, you know, strategy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, is there a really feeling?
Yeah, I tried other things, but I kept going back to Worms because I could handle it.
Okay, fair
enough.
There
you go. But let's see, when I'm back 100%, my opinion may change, but still on Worms and still enjoying it a lot.
Really? Is that all you've been playing this week?
Not quite.
Not
but,
quite.
We can go into that. I'm interested here about your adventures.
Yes.
You've whetted our appetites now.
I did. I've even teased you a little as to what I might talk about in this podcast. Yeah, I went to EGX, for those of you who were aware that Eurogamer was on this week. And I was in Earl's Court in London. It was lovely. I had a look around. I primarily stayed in the retro area and the Nintendo stand because the pre-mentioned Evil Within and the Aliens game and even...
Isolation.
Yes, that's the boy. Thank you very much. And Arkham Gotham Knight had queues that were like fucking
what
ridiculous.
About, Shadow of Mordor?
Shadow of Mordor was there. Yeah. I could have queued to get into a PS4 booth and played them, but you only queued for one thing and then you could play one of those and then you had to go back out and queue. Whereas upstairs, they were dedicated stands for these games where you could just stand and queue for like 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was, the sign said, from Evil Within. I was like, fuck that noise.
Yeah.
And so I just...
That's nearly out.
Is yeah.
That, like, in a couple of weeks, isn't
exactly, but it's 90 minutes, man. Like, I was there for a day, and there was just so many better things. Like, as much as I wanted to play those games, like, I could just go to the retro area. Like, I sat in the retro area for about half hour playing Bubble Bobble, because they had it on an arcade cabinet, and I was just there, and I got into...
Was that a new experience for you?
Well, playing it on an arcade cabinet, I've never done, yeah, but I still got into, I think, third on the leaderboard, and I was like, okay, that's me fun for the day. I'm not going to bother going for the top
you
score.
See, in those days, that was the equivalent of getting an achievement.
It was.
In a video game, wasn't it? Having your name up there in lights for whoever would come and challenge your high score.
I don't know if they turned the machine off at the end of the day, though. It kind of left me a bit sad. I wanted to take a picture, but my phone had died. And I was like, oh, well.
Tragic.
It was. But yeah, I did get to play some new games, believe it or not, mostly Nintendo titles.
Some interesting games on the horizon.
Stood
Nintendo.
In the old Wii U area. There was also some 3DS games.
Was it busy? And
it was pretty busy. To be honest, it kind of spaced me out a little bit because there was a bigger queue for Bayonetta 2 and for Hyrule Warriors than there was for Kirby, which is the first game I played. And I was just kind of like, are you fucking joking? Like, this queue for Hyrule Warriors was round the corner and, like, there was a one person in front of me to play Kirby. I was like, go on, then.
Oh, it just shows a lot of the sensibilities of the audience, doesn't it?
I guess
it does. They weren't young kids, so...
No, they weren't. I think they all wanted a little bit of Link action, and so they were queuing for Hyrule Warriors.
Hyrule Warriors, Bayonetta's fast-paced action games, one that my feeble brain can't comprehend.
At this moment in time, at least. So I played a bit of Kirby. It was just called Kirby. I don't know if it... It didn't have some kind of indication that it was made of clay.
A sequel to...
the one on the DS.
The Power Paintbrush or Canvas Curse, depending on...
Your region.
Your region. I think it was... I thought the title hinted at the fact it was a sequel.
So did I, but it was just called Kirby on the cabinet, as opposed to Yoshi's Woolly World, which was called Yoshi's Woolly World.
I guess they haven't decided on the title.
I guess they have not, at least in the European region. And so I played a bit of it. It was all right. I kind of have the same qualms I have with Power Paintbrush in the fact that I would just... I just prefer it to be a platformer.
Oh, I love it.
Like, I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, this is all right. Like, all the double tapping on Kirby and, like, having draw paths and stuff. Was
you don't like all this sort of thing, do you?
I know, but, like, I just wanted to do it myself. Like, I played it and I was like, oh, well, the visual style wasn't really that overbearing. Like, I thought seeing the trailers and stuff that it would be very clay-like and everything would look amazing. I just kind of...
It wasn't so clay-like.
No, it wasn't so clay-like. Like, you could tell that there was a clay-like effect to stuff, but it didn't really...
More like a filter.
Yeah, kind of. It didn't really have any depth.
But it didn't look like that from the trailers.
No, it didn't. And that kind of annoyed me. I think maybe they were just test levels thrown together from an early build or something, but, like... It definitely didn't look like the trailer to
me. Perhaps that's it. Maybe the trailer hinted at what they hoped the game to eventually look like.
Yeah.
And at this point, they weren't up to that level.
Yeah. But if you like the DS game, which my girlfriend does, she seemed to enjoy Kirby, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, it seems fair enough. It looked all right.
I mean, you can't really go too wrong with Kirby. I don't think I can recall a bad Kirby title being released in recent years.
That's true. So. There is a general level of quality from Kirby titles. As there was from Yoshi's Woolly World, which is next to it, which its visual style blew Kirby out of the water for me. Mm-hmm. It looked so amazing. My girlfriend just stood there going, wow, at it. And, like, it seemed to be very couple-orientated. The whole queue in front of us, there were no, like, two blokes or anything. It was very much guy and his girlfriend playing Yoshi.
Well, that's great, you know, attracting the female gamer.
Or it was.
Maybe not even a gamer.
Yeah,
Just
have a go.
Based on the look of the game.
And it was pretty solid. It reminded me, obviously, of Yoshi's Story and the Yoshi's Island games. It was just a Yoshi platformer without the twinge of Mario on your back, which was nice. And
yeah, like Yoshi's Story.
Yes, it was just like Yoshi's Story. Some nice, clever puzzle dynamics in it, though. It's meant to be played co-op, and so you can eat your friend, like, if they can't do a bit of the level, so you can take them around with you, and you need to...
A nice option to have, really.
Yeah, it was. My girlfriend couldn't do some of the trickier jumps, so I had to free her from the egg, which floats to the top of the screen, similar to the bubble in Mario. Pop her, eat her, and then run away quickly.
This is just in every Nintendo platformer now, the co-op.
Yeah, it seems to be.
Nice addition.
It was.
You can play without it.
You can play without it, but it was a lot of the puzzles and stuff, I believe, were aimed at co-op.
Okay.
Like, you had to, like, eat the other Yoshi, and then they turned into, like, a cannonball almost, which is more powerful against certain enemies and certain obstacles, and so you could throw the other player at something and they'd break it. Mm. Or they could jump to another platform that you weren't able to reach with your long jump and this kind of stuff. So it seems very focused on that. At least the demo was. I'm not sure if they will be in the final game. I assume they will, probably earlier levels.
I'll be getting that one.
It is a very good-looking game. I will also be getting it, purely because I like Yoshi's Story.
I love a good platformer.
So do I. good game. One I wasn't so bowled over with in the Nintendo lineup, however, was Splatoon.
Yeah, you mentioned this to me earlier.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to hear more.
After playing Destiny non-stop for like 3 weeks, I was like, oh, great, Nintendo first-person shooter, this will be really fun.
It's not first-person.
It's not, though, isn't it? It's third-person. Yeah. And I was like, right, okay, shit, I remember this being a first-person game, and then I remember now that I'm thinking back that, no, it is a third-person shooter. And it was too much going on, man. Like,
oh, no. Don't say those words.
I don't mean like, you know, this will be ironed out. Like, first of all...
Too much to concentrate on.
No, it's just the controls are stupid. Like, you have to... You look around, right?
Mm-hmm.
By either moving the Wii U gamepad, which is a fucking pain in the ass when you're trying to shoot someone, to try and, like, focus on them with the gamepad while you're waving it around.
Possibly.
The guy then said, like, oh, you can turn that off halfway through the demo. And I was like, why the fuck didn't you tell me that before? So he did.
I'm Matt Boyle, damn it.
Yeah. I want motion controls. Who do you think I am? Because I'm commoner. I turned it off and it was still confusing. There's a button assigned on the controller, Tom, to reset the camera. Because you need to reset the fucking camera that often that there's a button for it. Mm. Like, the left thumbstick becomes... aim, your right thumbstick becomes look around. Why can't you have a camera that's behind you so you look around with the left and you're aiming your gun with it, and then for precision aim or something you can do with the right?
Yep.
So it felt really clunky that, okay, I had to keep resetting the camera. Also doesn't help that the whole focus of the fucking game is trying to shoot the floor, and so people who just jump over your head, you can't see because you're so focused on the blur of colours around you.
Yeah.
The people who just jump over your head can shoot you. Now, if there was a map on the fucking screen, that would be easily solved. You could just go, okay, my radar's by there, there's someone coming up to my left, I'll stop shooting the floor, I'll turn and shoot.
Can you not move the map to the screen?
No, you bloody can't. It's on the gamepad.
And
that's the biggest qualm in the world, because trying to flick between two screens in such a high-paced
game... That could change. The game's in development still. Even with Mario Kart, they updated Mario Kart to feature a map on the screen. Do you remember that? In the latest edition of Mario Kart, they let you look at the map on the screen.
Yeah.
As opposed to the gamepad. So if there's enough feedback, then,
yeah,
even before the game's out, then maybe that'll happen.
But it seemed pretty late in development. Like, the whole point of the map on the gamepad...
Well, it could happen after it's been released.
...is that it needs a radar. It doesn't necessarily need a map. It just needs a radar.
Because
the map on the gamepad shows you which areas are coloured in, what colour paint and stuff.
Yeah.
And while I guess that would be nice to look at when you're dead, like when you're playing the game and you're trying to shoot all the walls with paint and you're trying to think of all these tactics, it's just too much going on.
I guess it's not a genre Nintendo are particularly known for.
No, and I mean, it is a new development team, but like, still, there's been a whole world of very successful third-person shooters.
And there are a high-profile development studio, Nintendo,
yeah, exactly.
You know, even if,
like,
it's a new studio within Nintendo.
But I mean, like, even the Metroid Prime games, like, maybe you should just, like, add a word with Retro. Could they handle, like, first-person action very well? Like, maybe they should have gone that direction with it. Like,
you're painting a bleak picture of this.
I didn't like it. I was really surprised. Like, I saw it at E3, and I was really looking forward to playing it. Like, I queued for ages, and I played it, and I was like, that's it. Wow.
I did say to you, maybe it takes some time. Maybe it's not one of them easy pick-up-and-play games. Maybe you've got to spend a few hours with it before you adjust yourself to the way it plays. Because it sounds like it's not like most games.
No, it isn't, but it feels like an early PS1 title in its controls.
Oof.
That's how scathing I will be of it. Like, I was really, really disappointed.
Okay.
That was it for Nintendo.
I was going to say one to look out for then, but probably not from your description.
Two solid games, like Kirby, if you like that, then yeah, I'd get Kirby. Like, if it's anything to go by the E3 demo that we saw, then Kirby will look
Kirby
stunning.
Kirby played fine.
It played fine, yeah, but I just don't like stylus
that
controls.
It didn't
and
look
stuff.
As good as it promised it might.
Yeah, pretty much. But Woolly World was fantastic. It was a very solid platformer and it looked amazing.
Was there anything else apart from Bayonetta 2 and Hyrule Warriors?
Bayonetta 2, Hyrule Warriors, Monster Hunter 4 was there, which I didn't have a chance to play because there was a gigantic queue. And how can you demo Monster Hunter? It's a big game, Tom. Like, it's a large franchise. Like,
well, I know. I played a bit of Monster Hunter on the Wii. But I don't know, if you have to spend a bit of time
exactly.
with it.
Exactly, I don't know how you can demo it in...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess they were just like... I think there was 4 screens hooked up, so you could kind of play a big boss with loads of gear and stuff, so... I then moved on to the retro area, in which I finally got a chance to play a Virtual Boy.
Oh, you're fulfilling a lifelong ambition here.
I did. I stuck my face right in that Virtual Boy, and I played a bit of Mario Tennis.
Was it clean? Did it feel clean?
It felt clean, yeah. It was all right. Mm. It was a well-looked-after Virtual Boy. A lot smaller than I thought the system would be. A bit more flimsy-looking than I thought it would
show
be.
Show me with your hands how big.
It was literally just this size. Ooh. Like, came over that far. Okay. Just stuck my face in it, and...
Was it comfortable? What did he do? Did he sit down?
Sat down in a stool, held the controller in my hand, and then just, you go like that, and you just play.
And that was comfortable?
It was all right.
For the time
I played it for like 5-10 minutes.
Mario
Tennis. Yeah. One thing I will say about it, after like, wow, you know, Virtual Boy, no wonder it failed. The depth on it's horrible. Ooh. Like, trying to play Mario Tennis is a bit of a pain in the ass, because you couldn't really tell where the ball was, because the depth doesn't really work that well. It's a bit of a shame, and Mario Tennis is regarded as one of the best titles on the system, other than Mario Land, which I hear is a fantastic game, but it could have been better if it was on another system. Like, there are 3D aspects, and it does kind of some of the stuff that Donkey Kong Country Returns does, in the fact that there's enemies in the background, you can kind of jump into the background and foreground and stuff. But
that's Wario.
In Wario Land, yes.
What is it? What's the title of it? It's Wario Land what?
It's just Wario Land.
Wasn't there not another game called Wario Land?
There was another game called Wario Land, but it's just called Wario Land. It came out around the same time.
Oh, okay, then it's not the same game then.
I don't think so. Definitely, if it is, it's an updated version with extra levels and stuff, but I don't think it's the one on the Game Boy. So yeah, I played that. Like I said, I played a bit of Bobble Bobble. I played a bit of Galaxian. I played some Kung Fu on the arcade cabinet and got my ass kicked because it was very hard. Then they had like a retro gaming challenge in the area, and I didn't actually bother signing up and filling in the paperwork and stuff because some of the games I wasn't that familiar with, like Tempest 2000 and stuff. I played a bit of Super Pang.
Playing your PS Vita version of TXK?
Yeah, I played a little bit of it, but like not enough for me to compete with the high score. Okay. I got a couple of thousand in Balloon Fight. I was quite happy with my score on that. Yeah. I played a bit of Super Pang.
Like a bit of Pang.
Pang,
you know,
is good.
It's one game I don't own a copy of Pang.
I don't own a copy
anything.
Of Pang either. I'm going to obviously get the Game Boy one eventually, but...
I remember after, on the Amiga.
After playing Super Pang, I was like, I should get Super Pang.
There's
like
Magical Michael's Pang or something on the DS.
Really?
There's a version of Pang. It's called Magic Michael or something.
Okay, cool. but I played a bit of Pang, and he was set to Expert, and I was all right, and I kind of started getting grips to it, and I was like, I'm never going to score a high score on this, so I didn't bother. R-Type 2 was also part of this high score challenge. I was like, I could probably do pretty well at that. But with my lackluster Pang result of it being on Expert and my inability to really play Tempest that well, I was like, okay, I'll just play Balloon Fight
and enjoy
it.
Playing R-Type 2 on?
It was on TurboGrafx. It's on a PC engine, which is nice. I only played it for a couple of minutes. I wasn't going to go for a high score. I just wanted to try out a TurboGrafx.
What was that like? Was the controller okay?
It's all right. Yeah. Nothing to write home about. Nothing revolutionary. Just okay. Virtual Boy controller, however, quite nice. I will give it that. Like, that was one of the crowning moments.
It's got
that
prongs,
really...
hasn't it?
It does.
Like a PlayStation controller.
Yes.
Longer.
Yes. Longer prongs. Mm. Kind of reminded me a little bit of the Wii Classic controller, but obviously more PlayStation-like handles.
Yeah.
It was good. I like the controller for that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Also, something I'll mention before I go on to talk about future new games and stuff, and before I let you cut in. Smash Brothers. Watching Smash Brothers with a gigantic audience was surprisingly very entertaining.
I imagine it could be. I imagine, like, yeah, watching it, I can imagine very fun.
Yes, people were really getting into it. People were cheering. There was like 100 or 200 people watching Smash going like, oh!
Because you didn't mention that before when you were talking about the Nintendo booth. Smash.
Yeah, Smash was there. You had to play the 3DS version, and you had to win like 3 matches on the 3DS version to then play the Wii U version.
Oh, that's naughty.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I don't want to play...
Is it because they knew there'd be a lot of interest in the
Wii U version of Smash, yeah.
So they have to limit how many people could get to play it.
But they centered it around a big event that, yeah. like, once you'd won three matches, then you played on a gigantic screen, like a big projected screen, and everyone watched everyone, you play.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. They play in, like, head-to-head matches.
And what do you think, watching it, how does it compare to the previous game?
Seemed pretty good. Couldn't really comment on it. Everyone was playing characters I'd already seen, and I didn't really notice any difference in them. It was like Link versus Bowser and stuff. Because if you won, you won a 3DS, a Smash Brothers one.
Oh yeah, that's and so a nice looking.
Everyone was 3DS, playing yeah. characters they knew, and yeah. I don't think any of the other ones are unlocked. Someone did play as the guy from Punch Out, Little Mac. He seemed pretty cool.
I guess everyone wanted to win, didn't they? So they weren't going to necessarily choose a new character.
No, exactly. They weren't really trying to try it out. They were just yeah. trying to beat each other. But seemed pretty entertaining. Anyway, I'll talk about the new games in a moment. Ooh. What have you been up to, Thomas?
Oh, it's exciting. Ah, okay. I have played a few games. I bought a few games. I'll start off with what I bought recently. Been quite into my Vita. There was a PlayStation Store offer on several games, digital only games.
Yes.
I think the headline was totally digital. These are games that have only been released digitally. And the games I picked up from this little sale were Proteus, but I haven't yeah. played it yet.
Okay.
I know we've spoken about it
really
before because
like
you played
that
it.
Game.
Yeah. It was dirt cheap. It's like £1.50
It wasn't that much when I bought it, yeah. but honestly, Tom, if you were not in the mood for like Bayonetta yeah. style, honestly, like if you just want to chill out
that's
tonight, play Proteus. Yeah. Honestly, it's really good.
Flower, you get both the Vita version and the PS3 version.
Also the PS4 version, which is why I bought
it. I tried playing it on the Vita, lying down in yeah. bed, and it was a bit awkward using
really?
The motion controls.
Oh, okay. Well, I did it with the PS4, and it was okay.
I think I have played Flower before on the PS3,
yes.
on the 6-axis, and that is effortless control. So
yes,
I was just happy to get Flower at a knockdown price. But my game of the week that I purchased from there, and I've played more than nearly as much as Worms.
Tom's game of the week
would be Entwined, and
ooh.
This was a game which I first think was shown off at E3.
It was
year.
And was made available directly after the conference.
It's a simple concept, but very addictive and done well. Basically, you controlling two characters at the same time, a fish and a bird.
Yes.
The fish is orange, the bird is blue. You're carrying on through a tunnel, like a tunnel. You're
yes.
flying through a tunnel. Okay. And each character is assigned to one of the analog sticks, the fish on the left and the bird on the right.
Yes.
There are coloured segments as you go through the tunnel, and you have to move the character towards the right coloured segment.
Okay.
And there's different combinations.
Yeah.
Obviously. So you have to like push that stick up or push the other stick down at the same time. And then it's trying to do that. But it's cool how it all works, because once you've got a certain amount, filled up your energy bar for each character, because they both fill up independently.
Yeah.
The idea of the game is these... you got to get them to meet up again and become one.
Yeah, it's something to do with like love and a metaphor for like
yeah.
souls
yeah.
meeting or something.
It's quite nice,
right?
Actually, is a mechanic. And so you get your bars up to full, and then you've got a small gap where you can make that connection.
Okay.
And you've got to be perfect. You've got to get without making any mistakes for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And that is the frustrating bit. On level 4, I think it was, I kept getting up to that point, and just failing.
Oh, man.
And it's like one more go kind of thing. I was having little tantrums.
That sounded like you?
And it's unlike me. A game made me have a little temper tantrum.
But not only did it make you have a little tantrum, but you still wanted to play. Usually when you get to that point where you're frustrated, you're like, no, I don't play this anymore, and you like throw the controller
at
the wall.
No, I still wanted
to play
because I knew I could do it. It was the right level of
difficulty. Yeah.
And also, in between these moments of frustration, it's actually quite relaxing. The music's very nice. The scenery's...
Yeah.
The game's very pretty to look at. And then, so you get through to this other area where now you've come together and you create this, like, dragon thing.
Yeah.
And you have to go around this free... you can freely move around this big area and collect some crystals, and then you open up a portal to the next level.
Yeah.
And that's how the game plays out. I've done 7 of the 9 levels, I think, now.
Okay.
So it's not a game, I think, that's going to take you that long to complete. But it's certainly, there's a challenge mode as well, so I guess once you've done the main story,
then there's some little bit of extra.
But they managed to change up the difficulty of, it's not like you're replaying the same level over and over again. It's like they change little things up, like one level will be mostly focused on a certain way to tackle the puzzle. The coloured areas for you to fly through appear in a set kind of
pattern
in one. So it's like one level's kind of like this pattern, the next level is another pattern.
And is there like a rhythm game dynamic to it then, or?
I guess you have to get that motion right. You have to get the speed of the motion, because you have to, a lot of times you have to control them at the same time.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to bring them together to get through a different, the green colour. I say just go ahead and play it. I think this is a game that will appeal to many. It's straightforward enough to appeal to casual gamer, and yet it's got that classic gameplay that I think will appeal to anyone.
I have it. I got it after E3. I just haven't had a chance to play it.
Mm.
Same with Octodad. Dadliest Catch. I bought that as well, and I still haven't had a chance.
But it's certainly my game of the week.
Tom's game of the week.
And it was one that I spent the most time with, because other games, I just got frustrated and turned them off rather quickly. I've already mentioned Halo 4 and Bayonetta. Bayonetta I really liked.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't like was I quit out. I decided not to continue. I had a look where it was going to restart me next time I played.
Yeah.
And it was like not where I expected to be started. It's like right back at the start again. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Put me off playing it again for a while.
That's a shame.
Halo 4. Now, Halo 4. I'm still not sold on Halo 4.
Oh. I played Halo 2 Master Chief Collection thingamajig. It's Halo 2, Tom. Halo 4 is just more of the same. And then a little less, I would say.
What I thought about Halo 4 was, I'm not sure if this is how, I can't remember how the game, Halo games played out. It didn't seem so obvious as it does in Halo 4. You'll get to an area, oh my god, they're coming. Then there'll be like a horde, load of enemies will come at you for a while, and then it calms down again. And you get to another big open area, load of enemies come at you, and then it calms down again. And it all seemed very much like, there wasn't much to it, there wasn't.
Well, I will say this. That is pretty much Halo. Like, that is Halo 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? But this is it. This is,
there's no narrative. There's no real storytelling that keeps you distracted. There's no Sergeant Johnson barking silly lines and Marines going, hoorah, to keep you going.
Yeah, it didn't. It never felt as obvious as that's what it was. I think in other Halo games, it managed to mask the fact that it was just a swarm of enemies which were coming.
And while they do have silly stories, it's just the humour of stuff like grunts.
Yeah, and these dog things aren't that interesting.
No, they're not.
And the other big things, they're not that interesting either.
No.
The fly things are frustrating as hell.
Yeah.
And also something that I found, I run out of ammo very quickly.
Yes.
And have to pick up one of the alien weapons, which I didn't want to use.
Yeah, I didn't want to use them either. And
ran out of ammo for that very quickly. Found myself with no ammo at times, you know, with hordes of enemies, just frantically trying to find a drop gun.
No, it always used to annoy me in that game when I played through the campaign that, because I played through on Heroic first and then I played through on Legendary. And it's frustrating because there is little ammo, especially in Heroic, so I'd imagine Normal's probably the same, because they tend to be on the same.
There's not a lot of ammo compared to previous Halo games I played. This, the least.
It's because they wouldn't force you to go like, hey, try these new 4Runner weapons. I'm like, I don't fucking care. I've played 4 games. I want to try new weapons.
It's kind of not like what Halo works. You know, you don't always have to use the alien weapons. They're there if you want to change up.
I never do. Like, I don't even like the Covenant weapons that much.
And these are just kind of rip-offs of Covenant weapons.
Yeah, exactly.
There's that one that charges up, the little...
Yeah.
There's one of them.
Yeah.
The same thing. Just looks a bit different.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not blown away by Halo 4.
Yeah? Have you been playing it on co-op, though?
No.
No, just on your own?
Just on my own.
On my own.
Maybe it'd be more fun on co-op.
Pretending Gareth's beside me.
I did persuade Gareth to purchase Worms 2 Armageddon.
Yeah.
Which I updated my copy with some add-ons, like the retro pack and the battle pack. They had a lot. They had extra campaign missions, extra modes, extra weapons, hats, levels. Yeah. So I'm feeding my worms addiction here.
Yeah, fair enough.
Now, you gave me a poster from Team 17.
I did, yes.
They developed another game, other than the one we mentioned previously, Flockers.
Yes.
There's another thing they've got.
Flockers was there. There are actually three games that they were presenting.
It is kind of a little bit mind-blowing, because they don't tend to do much else other than worms.
I guess they kind of realised, hey, we should probably start developing other games. It's been like 20 years.
There is a division, I think two divisions now. There's Team 17, Team 17 yeah. Digital. So maybe they've got bigger and they can do
the one more. That I remember is the one that is exclusive to Xbox One and PC that I wanted to play, but I couldn't get near, which is called The Escapists, which looked like a fun... All of them are very 8-bit in their style, you know. It's a very stripped-down, like, pixel aesthetic, I guess, probably because they're such a small team that it lets them work on several games at once.
Mm.
Ooh, what's on eBay? What's on eBay? What's on eBay? What are you watching? What are you watching? What are you watching?
Go on, continue.
So the Escapist looks good. I didn't actually see what the gameplay was about, because, like I said, I couldn't get near the bloody screen because they were in the indie section.
Right.
There was the one I got the poster for you, which I can't remember the name of. You look gobsmacked. Oh my God, why are you... No. Go, no, Tom. Tom just showed me a Gene Simmons poster where he looks startled as if he's hanging onto someone's ceiling and about to drop down on them. That's scary.
I was bidding on it, but don't get it's that. Got too expensive.
Please, God, don't get that. But, as I said, there were three Team 17 games there. Escapists and the other two I can't remember the name of. Both
you
of them looked very nice.
For one of them.
I did, yes. And there's also a game with a cat, which my girlfriend was like, oh, that's really nice. However, while we were waiting to play that, we both got distracted because I saw one game that I wanted to try out called Omega Agent.
Oh, yes. You showed me a postcard.
Which is going to be exclusively on the Samsung Gear VR, which is Samsung's equivalent to the Oculus, where you put your phone in to create the VR headset, which I've heard isn't too bad. Not from the guys developing the game, but from people out in the world. Polygon did a review on it and said, wow, that's actually pretty good for something you just put your phone in to create a VR environment. Mm. They were running it on an Oculus Rift, which is why I was very curious.
Can I look at that?
You can. Essentially what Omega Agent is a game where you're essentially training to become a secret agent, and they had it mapped out, so it was just a, you know, like a beta build a bit with an Oculus and a Xbox One.
Mm.
And after being downstairs and not really being blown away by the Virtual Boy, I put an Oculus on for the first time, and oh my God, I want one. Honestly.
Is this going to be something that you'll be able to buy for home use?
Yes, they are in their last development kit at the moment before they start putting out the first retail models. Honestly, Tom, like, it was fucking awesome. I put it on and you're there. Comfortable, very comfortable, not very heavy. I was just sat in a chair, the Xbox controller in my hand, and it's on my face. It was a bit smaller. I was not that far away from my face. It was like there.
Yeah.
Lot of padding and stuff around. And even wear my glasses in it as well. The guy was
good.
Like, oh, he goes, those look like glasses you can wear in it. I was like, oh, great. So I put it on my head and then I was there. And like the game starts with like it kind of fading in from black. And you look down, your hands are typing at a desk, but they're not your hands. And then you kind of look to the left, and there's other people sat down in this thing watching this same briefing with you.
You feel like you're in a world.
It feels like you're part of it.
Yeah.
In a really surreal way. And probably I could see why, after a long period of time, people could get motion sickness from it. Because, like, I really felt like, oh my God, I'm typing away. And, like...
Did your hands, like, type?
No, my hands were holding a controller.
Oh, they were, weren't they? Sorry, I forget.
But, like, I looked down and there was my hands, or my these digital hands kind of typing away. And then, like, I looked to the right, and then there was, like, a map. And I looked to the left, and there was other stuff. And I was like, wow, you could really do something with, like, menus and stuff. So, you know, you could hold a button, and then you could look left, or you could look right, and you could see menus. I could see the possibilities for it, and it just blew my mind. Omega Agent was a very fun game. It was not properly mapped to the Xbox controller, because the Samsung Gear VR is going to have its own controller or something. So they said,
this was just a stand-in.
This is just a stand-in. Yeah. I kind of commented. I found out because I commented it wasn't really intuitive, because the thrust buttons were on the bumpers and
not the
shotgun was on the B. Oh. And I was like, well, you got to pull your finger off the one you're aiming with to fire. I said, you should just put it on the trigger because your finger's already there. And they were like, oh, we'll put that in the next build, but this is only for display.
Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah. And yeah, it was pretty fun. I flew around in a jetpack. I shot my shotgun. I did some things.
Made you feel like James Bond.
Yeah, it was nice. It was pretty cool.
Is it very stylized like that postcard, or is it more?
It is, yeah. It's all very, like, you know, like 1950s view of the future where everything's kind of got this crazy.
Of course.
You know?
It's funny, this jetpack thing, because I watched Men in Black 3 the other day, and I don't know. You've seen that?
Yeah, I've seen Men in Black 3.
And it's the jetpack scene where Will Smith, hey, come on, jetpacks. I'm not getting one of them. And the jetpack's like massive. It's like humongous. I thought that was quite a funny scene in the film. But jetpacks is a.
Yeah. While I was playing that, my girlfriend actually got distracted by The Room 3, which is a very popular iPad series in which you figure out puzzles to escape a locked room.
It's the third room game.
It is the third of the room games. The first one, I believe, may actually still be free. It's very well selling. Like, it's one of the top grossing apps on the iPad, I believe.
Mm.
And she played it because she's completed the first two and she really enjoyed it, and she's looking forward to getting the third one.
Puzzle?
Yeah, puzzle game.
Is it like Press a Layton?
Not
that story.
No.
Narrative puzzle.
Did you ever play a Flash game back in like the early 2000s called The Red Room? It's like you're locked in a room and then you've got to like look around the room and like turn things over and there's different puzzles and stuff. And essentially you're trying to escape the room.
Okay.
But she played a bit of it and she enjoyed it. And
very
she
ominous,
beat the demo
this postcard.
Very fast.
Mm.
Which was cool.
So that's a good one.
Then we turned the corner and lo and behold.
The chicken corner.
Turned the corner over.
Sorry, Matthew. I couldn't resist that one.
We turned the corner and lo and behold, a friend of the podcast, past guest on this podcast, Mike Bethel's Volume was there. The stealth game in which you play Robin Hood. You can go back and listen to our interview for more,
but it's not like Robin Hood like you think Robin Hood.
No, it isn't. It's a futuristic Robin Hood.
Future Robin Hood.
Oh my God, it was good. I really enjoyed it. So, it's just very interesting. It feels very much like Metal Gear Solid, which is his influence for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of nice little mechanics, like you can throw an item that causes sound, which distracts the robots, and you...
Very stealthy.
It was very cool. You could hide under the floor and cupboards and stuff. And it was generally pretty cool. Like, the theme of the game is you collect these treasure things around the level and you just escape. But from the four levels I played of it, it seemed like a very good game, and I'm looking forward to playing more.
Okay.
Walked around the corner again, and there was a game that immediately caught my girlfriend's eye, as did mine, called Luminosity, but it's spelled like
postcard.
Lumino City. Essentially, this game has a very handcrafted feel, and they had some of the sets in
This is one you're telling me about.
Yeah, and they're all built out of like papercraft and like modelling stuff. And they actually built the whole town. It's a point-and-click adventure. And they made everything. Like, they made this whole town, set it up in a studio, and then recorded it all. And, like, took all of the... They planned the game out beforehand, and they recorded around the whole thing. And they, like, had dynamic zooms, so, like, the background would be blurred, and then there'd be a nice zoom in to another building where your character then goes. And it just felt very, very nice. And it's very stylized. There's beautiful bits of like typography in the start of it, which
appealed to your sensibilities.
Bowled me over from the off.
Yeah.
Writing seemed very nice. The puzzles seemed quite challenging, but also very quirky. Like, the first puzzle you run into is you've got to turn the lights back on because it's Lumino City. And it involves lemons. Like, you've got to put lemons on the plus and minuses to power the thing, the citrus and the things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really cool. It's really quirky. I really enjoyed it.
So that's one to look out for.
Hope to play more of it. You could check it out at luminositygame.com.
And it's developed by State of Play Games.
Yes, it was. And I was chatting to one of the ladies from State of Play, and she seemed very nice and very enthusiastic about it all. Mm. So yeah, have a look.
And what format do you say this would be?
It's going to release originally on Steam, I believe, for PC and Mac, and then maybe Linux, and then it'll be released for the iPad in the new year, I believe, on iOS devices and stuff.
Did you say Mac?
Yes, it is Mac, so I can play it, which would be lovely.
And so can I, because I have a Mac.
This is true, yeah. I also played a game called Hookball, which I need to download because it's actually free until the end of Sunday. it's kind of a quirky idea. You're a little guy, and there's like a Mayan thing ticking down in the background, and you just essentially you grapple back and forth enemies, and you punch them, and you can throw enemies into each other. It's just like a game to get a high score. There's no real like ultimatum to it from what I saw. It's just try and survive and try and get as high a score as you can. But it was really fun. I enjoyed it.
From these quotes, it sounds very difficult.
It is very difficult. Very frustrating, actually.
But it's one of those games that keep you playing, even though it's difficult.
It is, yeah.
Mm. Hookball.
It's very cool. I really like the style of it as well.
Nice.
Yes. Made by a company, I believe, called Nacho Beard.
Oh, now that's a name.
It is a name. It isn't on you. They don't say. I'm pretty damn sure, though, the company developer called Nacho Beard. because I picked up their business card and it made me laugh. Because it was literally just like a beardy nacho. Like a cheesy beard.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. That's one of the problems, isn't it? Beards, really.
Yeah. What else have you been doing?
Well, this time last week, Matthew said to me, I got these DS games. There's a couple of them I don't really want.
Yeah.
Do you want them? And actually, I didn't want to take them off him.
You
it's like the plague. One of the games was ATV something or other. One Motocross. Of these quad bike games. Yeah. And of course, suddenly memories of what's that one on the PS2 from Phoenix Games?
Extreme
Quads flashed it up. I was like, oh no. Ah. But I said, what about the other game? What the other game? And it was the Mummy. What's the last? Mummy 3.
Yeah, it is the Mummy 3. I can't remember what it's called either.
The Asian Influence one. Tomb of the Dragon Emperor or something yes. like that. And I was like, oh, well, my girlfriend quite likes the Mummy. Maybe she'll like to play this.
Yes.
So I took these off, Matt. And actually, I've played both of the games.
Okay. Really?
The ATV game.
Yeah.
Oh dear! I was playing it on the bus, and straight away I realised it was cheap.
Yeah.
Very cheap. It was like it was made for a mobile or something.
Okay.
You know, and the menus weren't very intuitive. It confused. I couldn't even get into the game at first. I turned it on.
Did I not just have a scene? That said
I lasted
push start.
3 or 4 seconds until I realised it was a terrible, terrible game and turned it straight off.
Okay, fair enough.
There wasn't even this level of. Amusement that we got out of Extreme Quads.
Really? It was just it was a
like, my bike like toppled over. Like,
oh, my
couldn't
God.
Get it back to straight again. And that time, everyone else already driven off. And I was like, that was just getting off the starting line.
Oh,
I toppled the thing straight away.
I wanted to play this game.
I thought, why am I wasting my time?
Yeah.
And I turned it off. And then the other one was actually okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it like point and click?
Impressed me. No, it was a top-down
action game.
Action game with puzzle elements. But what did frustrate me is you have to use the stylus on the screen. You have to. You find yes, but it was the kind of game where it's primarily an action game where you're wandering around doing things.
What, like Kirby?
But then you have to stop for a moment. Now, that's integrated very well in Kirby Power Paintbrush Canvas Curse. But this, you have to stop and you have to look at this tiny symbol. You have to redraw the symbol you saw.
Yeah.
And then you could use it to open a door.
Okay.
I thought, okay, well, it's an all right mechanic. It's a bit annoying, but...
Yeah.
And pushing things around, Tomb Raider style.
Yeah.
It's very much like Tomb Raider. But one thing that really irritated me was your main character's voice. When you tried to push an object that weren't pushable, he'd go, no.
Was it voiced by Brandon Fraser?
It didn't sound like it. He'd go,
oh, God.
No.
That sucks.
No. Yeah. No. No. Like, that was very annoying.
Well, he's very prompt. He's telling you. He's just like, no.
No.
No means no, Tom.
No means no.
No.
Okay. And I thought, well, this is okay, but it's like, why bother?
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
There's much better games you could be playing. It didn't really retain my interest for very long. But I thought, oh, it's kind of neat. The graphics, the visuals look good for a DS game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's had a little bit of thought put into it.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, neither of these two games were particularly grand. But yeah, I think you knew that when you passed them over to me.
Well, like... I bought off a guy in work who was selling his kid's DS. Oh, actually, it might have been his. He was a developer. He's a senior developer. and he had a load of games. Essentially, like, he had a lot of Game Boy Advance Lego games, which I was quite happy to add to the collection. But I didn't mention it to him at the time because I was going to go over and see if I could get a deal. I actually wanted Retro Game Challenge, which was published by Exceed in America and never made it to the UK. And also a copy of Hotel Dusk for my girlfriend because she likes puzzly games. Mm. So I was like, oh, I'll get a copy of Hotel Dusk. And when I went over there, he's like, well, actually, he said, I got all these other games. I sold the DS and a few of the games, but the woman didn't want these. Tell you what, 100 krona, they're all yours. And I was planning on paying 50 for just the Retro Game Challenge and Hotel Dusk. So I was like, yeah, winner. So I got 6 Game Boy Advance Lego games. I got Broken Sword, the first one, the director's cut. Namco Museum, which has like Dig Dug and a few other things. Pac-Man Versus on it. Yeah, there were a few more games as well. Avatar The Last Airbender, which I'll give to our good friend Austin.
You know what you said? You sound like you said Avatar The Last Airbender.
No.
Listen to that back.
No.
Were you...
No.
You said the arse airbender.
The arse airbender. If I did, please send it in, remix it.
Yeah.
We'll love it as a theme tune.
Okay.
I can't remember the other games.
Sorry, I've thrown you off.
There were a few in there that I actually was very curious about playing.
I have this problem now, what to do with them?
Yeah, well, like the DS games, some of them I really want. If not, maybe I'll give some away.
I think I might see if I can find... I'll see if Claire likes them, but I don't think Claire will...
Yeah,
appreciate them that much, having played them. Maybe I can find someone.
I'm sure someone will want them. I'm sure there's someone with kids we can pawn them off on.
Kids, you know. But kids know quality. Kids know a bad game.
Yeah, that's true.
Give them a bad game to play.
Yeah, that's
true. I certainly did.
So did I. Mm. Speaking of possibly bad games, I actually met up with our good friend, the Retro Hunter, Ali, finally.
There's a lot of rattling.
It is.
It's a plastic bag.
Oh, Sainsbury's bag. I met up with Ali for the first time ever, our good friend. We knew him, of course, from Twitter, first of all.
Met Ali.
No, you haven't. The other day. Neither had I. But he's also of the Retro Asylum podcast, at the Retro Hunter on Twitter. And he rang me up a couple of months back and said, hey, I'm at a car boot sale. I know you collect Game Boy games. There's a guy here who's got a shit ton of Game Boy games.
Did we mention this?
What do you want? I believe we did. I didn't name the titles. But I finally got them off him. I also gave him a Lego Stormtrooper key ring, as is par for the course. And I got my Game Boy games, which are the following. I got Pit Fighter.
Sneaky Snakes.
I got Hyperload Runner, which I'm very excited to play. I got Skate or Die, Baton Rad. I got Montezuma's Return.
Sneaky Snakes? Is this Snake Rattle and Roll?
It is Snake Rattle and Roll. I got Super Hunchback featuring Quasimodo in English. I did get a French cart a bit like last week or the week before, but I already had this one off Ali. Mm. And I got InfoGenius, Personal Organizer with phone book. So when I have all my hot dates with no one but my girlfriend, I can write my girlfriend and your phone number down here, Tom, and then my life will be complete.
Baton Rad. Hyperload Runner.
I've been very curious to play Hyperload Runner. The creator of that actually passed away, sadly, a couple of weeks ago.
Because this was a breakthrough game.
It was.
At its time.
Yeah. Very, Load very Runner. Good game as well. So I'm very much looking forward to playing that, and I'm going to piss around with the InfoGenius game and maybe make a biographic video on it, just for giggles. Yeah, why not? Met with Ali, had a chat. Very nice dude. Seemed very down to earth. He also had a bag of gaming goodies that he was giving away to people who met him from fans of the Retro Asylum podcast. Actually got a copy of Link's Crossbow Trainer for the Wii off of him, just because I was like, I don't have it. Why not?
Good fun.
He was just like, yeah, I got a load of stuff in here. And he was like, oh, brace yourself. He goes, I got a Game Boy game for you. And he pulled his Tetris. It's like, I got a 7. It's all right. So after I met Ali and I got these Game Boy games, I've been alluding something to you, Thomas.
Mm.
And
this is the big announcement. It is a big announcement that I've alluded to.
And I'm not actually going to reveal it this week. I'm going to tease
kept
it.
Me hanging
because
for this long.
It's going to come tomorrow, I think. I'm hoping.
Oh, you asking about a package?
Yeah. Our good friend of the podcast, Pear Farger, got in contact with me. Yes.
The Pear.
The Pear. embroidery artist extraordinaire got in contact with me about maybe having some of his old games off of him. He said, look, I'm clearing out these games.
My.
And he said, like, look, I just want them to go to a good home. He said, pick what you want. If not, he said, I'm going to send them to a charity shop. To which I said, well, I'll tell you what, I will just take them all off you and just pay for postage. Included in these games were such beauties as a boxed copy of Final Fantasy III, a boxed copy of Chrono Trigger, a boxed copy of Secret of Mana, a N64 copy of Kirby Secret Shards, a copy of Lilac Wars, a copy of Majora's Mask, a copy of Ocarina of Time. Some very, very nice titles. I also got Adventure of Lolo 3 on the NES and Kirby's Adventure. But in the email, he mentioned that he had some rarer games that he was looking to sell on eBay.
Okay. The couple of them were rather rare.
But Tom, when I mean rare, I mean
I mean
rare.
Developed by the British game studio.
No, I don't. No, there was actually no rare titles. That's a bit odd. Now you mention it. Yeah. He said he had a couple of rare games and that he was going to sell them on eBay. And he said, oh, well, what are they? I assumed he meant the games in the list. But no, he did not. And I purchased a game, Thomas.
From Pear.
From Pear. For the NES. Which is a rare NES game.
Oh, it's that one.
It could be, Tom.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you what it is. Because I won't open it on the podcast. There are several very rare
There's one particular one.
There is one Tom.
That I imagine Pear probably would own. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see then.
We can.
I can tell you what I bought.
Yeah? Okay, week. Fair enough.
I bought a couple of Super
Tom,
Nintendo games.
It could just be one rare NES game.
Oh, he's not finished yet.
Or it could be three. Could be three extremely rare NES games.
Okay.
Answers on a postcard.
Right.
At TMA Cast on Twitter. What do you think these games are?
This is mysterious.
It is. Oh.
Why is he doing this?
I'm going to tell you afterwards, but I want to elude mystery on the podcast. Yeah. What did you buy, Thomas?
It's got a pale in comparison.
It's all right.
I playing that Dragon Ball game on Wii, and it reminded me of other Dragon Ball Z games that I hadn't played yet. I've played and don't own it. Really wanted to play again. And one of these games was Hyper Dimension for the Super Nintendo. Probably the best 2D Dragon Ball Z fighter.
I've played that one. Is it the one where you can play as SSJ3 characters?
Yeah, it's got kind of a darker kind of colour palette than the other ones.
Yes. Very, very good game.
Frieza and
Cell.
I think Cell. Great game. And usually, you know, reasonably expensive on eBay. I found this seller, which was very good, who was offering it a very reasonable price, just the cartridge loose. And while I was browsing through the games he was selling, I also noticed Donald Duck in Maori Mallard.
Oh!
Which is a platform game that's always been one that I've had my eye on.
A game our good...
Very pretty.
A game our friend Jakob has.
He does?
Yes, he has a box copy and he won't let... I've asked him to borrow it a few times. He's gone, and then he's never lent it.
This was a Japanese copy of it, the same as Hyper Dimension. And... very affordable. I think I got both for around about £10, not including postage.
Yeah.
It sounds very good, doesn't it?
It does sound very good.
It was something like that. Maybe it's like, I don't know, but it was reasonable.
Yeah.
And I was very happy. I was also bidding on Gundam Wing Endless Waltz, is it?
Oh, that's a good game.
Endless Duel.
Around Endless Waltz, the movie.
I got outbid on that one. But that was quite a fun one. I don't know if it's any better than some of the Battle Assault games on the PS1. I can't remember exactly. There are a couple of 2D fighters on PS1, Gundam ones, which actually are rather good. I've got one of them. So I wasn't too miffed to miss out on it, because the one I was really after was Hyperdimension.
Yeah.
And now I finally have it. And
that's cool.
I'm rather happy about that.
I really like that game. It'd be a good one to play.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
That's other than those downloadable titles I picked up, that's it.
Okay.
This week.
No, it's still a good purchase, man. Mm. Especially for that price.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess that brings us to the end of the podcast then.
Oh no, there's one more thing, Matthew.
There's one more thing.
The releases.
Oh, I almost forgot, Thomas.
The releases.
What's getting released?
Well, this game, Chariot. Have you heard about this game?
No, Chariot? I haven't heard about Chariot.
Platform game where you control two characters and you're pushing a chariot and you have to cooperate with each other to pull this chariot around through
the
levels.
No, sounds very cool. What's that on?
Matthew, it's on the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Well, I believe I may have to purchase that from the PS4.
On the 30th of September, it'll be released on PS4.
Fantastic. Payday.
On the 1st of October, you get it on the Xbox One.
Oh, interesting, because of their release schedules.
Also released on the 30th September is Shadow of Mordor for PC. It's getting released before
the console version.
The console
version,
which I think
it's
about
because
in November.
It comes out. Is it? Oh, interesting.
November.
Is there that much of a difference between them? Very interesting.
People reviewed this game already. I think. I think on Game Spot it was 8 out of 10.
I overheard people talking about it very excitedly at Gamescom. Yeah. At EGX.
I thought the first trailer for it, I thought, yeah, this game's got potential. If they pull it off well, it could be very good.
Looked pretty good. Mm. From the sounds of things, people who played it seemed to really enjoy it. And yeah, the reviews are there. They are telling of the score.
Mm. So that's one to look out for. Other big releases coming soon would be Evil Within, as we've mentioned, Bayonetta 2. And
did we mention your wonderful, wonderful cardboard box head that I brought you back?
Oh, no, we haven't. Yes, my mate gave me a couple of gifts other than the Team 17 poster. Also, this it's peculiar. I thought it was just like a box at first, just a regular kind of display thing for Evil Within, a kind of neat little thing.
Yeah.
But it's actually made to be worn on your head.
Yes.
It's like a safe. And,
it is.
There's a door in it, and you open the door, and your little face can peek out.
Yeah, exactly. Many people running around EGX with them. Quite funny.
Yeah. It's surreal.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I put it together, I thought, that's weird how this has all come together. And then I thought, but then somehow it was obvious to me it was meant to go
on
my head.
Yeah.
Very odd.
Yeah, very odd.
I don't know what it's what relevance it has to the game.
I assume there's probably enemies that have it, maybe. You know, it's kind of like Pyramid Head in Silent Hill, I assume.
Yeah, I'm wondering how full-on the Evil Within's going to be. Is it going to be really bloody, really nasty?
I assume so.
It looks it from at least the trailers. I'm excited about the game because I like the director's other work.
Including Resident Evil and podcast favourite.
Oh, Shadows of the Damned, a game which still gives me tingles of pleasure whenever I mention its name.
Fair enough. Anything else? Any more for any more?
Oh, no, there was, as far as
the next week.
The end of September, beginning of October goes, that's it. As I mentioned before, there are things coming out of October, there's plenty.
Yeah. Destiny players, you have until, I believe, the 3rd of October to get rep for the Queen's Wrath, which is a gaming event going on in Destiny at the moment where the Queen of...
Sheba.
Yes, the Queen of Sheba. I can't remember what the undead race in that game is called. Essentially, the woman from the story, the Queen who you encounter before you go to Mars, she is giving out bounties and you can get some very nice exotic gear and legendary gear. Fortunately, only available for a limited time. Hurry, while stocks last. Contact your nearest depot for PMP details.
This game just teases you with things, doesn't it?
It does.
Gives you a little bit. Here you go, have a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They killed the loot cave, though. That was a bit annoying.
Really?
Yeah, well, like, instead of fixing their fucking loot system, it was just like, oh, yeah, we admit this is a problem. We didn't want people shooting at a cave for hours, so we're going to take the cave away. And it's like, good job, Bungie. That was the answer to that one.
Yeah. How do you feel about... There's been a lot of comments I've heard about story. Not much of a story to this game.
No, not really. I don't even bother completing the story. I don't really care.
Also, assumptions that more story information will be given through downloadable content.
Yes, it seems that way.
And there's one guy, one reviewer online, who's very angry about that. He says, I want the full story. I don't want to pay to have the gaps in the story filled in.
This is a 10-year franchise. Like, they've said this from the off, this is going to be a huge world, like World of Warcraft.
But I think,
like,
a lot of people have taken... They're upset that they're not getting it out of the box.
Well, like, I mean, you didn't really get that much story with Halo. Like, in all fairness,
Yeah, I have to agree.
I think people are starting to become a bit too self-entitled with these kind of games now.
Well, like, I felt that for a long time. People demand so much. You know, they demand games to be a certain length. If it's not like 60 hours, they don't care or something.
Jeez, the fucking ending of Mass Effect 3, for Christ's sake. Like, yeah, it was a disappointment, but, like, it's worrying that people have got that level of influence over studios now where they can go, I don't like the fucking end of the game!
It's
funny, change
it's
it?
Not like a film. If you release a film on DVD, you don't get to buy an add-on pack later to change the end of it. You know, that is the end of the film. That is what the director, the writer decided on.
Yeah, exactly. And then you watch it and you go, oh, I like that film, but the ending wasn't great. And then you move on with your life.
Yeah. You don't say, oh, you've got to change your bloody ending to your film, otherwise I'll never watch any of your films.
Yeah, but then again, like, you haven't invested 120 hours plus maybe into a film, have you? Like,
but my argument, the game shouldn't need to be that long.
Yeah, or a game should.
But this is maybe a discussion for another podcast.
I believe so. Yeah, if you want to get in contact with us, let us know your feeling about changing games' endings. Did Destiny's story disappoint you? I actually want to know if those who were a bit sceptical about Destiny actually picked it up in the end and what they think of the game. You can let us know these things at facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. You can let us know on Twitter at TMAcast.
You can do that too.
And hey, if you've liked the podcast, why not tell some others and go listen to it in iTunes. Subscribe while you're there. Maybe leave a cheeky comment or two. Who knows? We might read them out in the podcast if there's any new ones.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah. Ask us questions if you want to ask us anything. You've got this burning desire to know what colour underpants Matt's wearing.
Currently.
Wow.
Red and black stripes. And they're fresh, so there's no stains.
We will divulge certain information.
We will. Not the keys to the safe. Not where we're hiding.
The secret plans.
The secret plans. but yeah, we'll tell you what games we like. We'll vet them.
And the ones we feel are suitable for broadcast, answer.
We'll steal the Twitter name that I came up with back in the time when I was asking daily questions. We'll call it TMA Ask.
Oh.
Yes. So yeah, send us some questions. Also, have a pitch in, see what NES game you think I've bought. Oh,
three.
It's a doozy.
Three NES games.
They're doozies. And until next time, guys, game on.
Game on.